Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. We always begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for the time that we can study your word, and I pray that you'd guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We are studying the purpose of humanity. If you have your Bible study books, I hope you do. If you don't have one and you'd like to be in the Bible study, you can come on Sunday and pick one up. How's that? All right? As I said, we're looking at the purpose for humanity, and in our books, it's on page 28. Page 28. And the first question says, what's your least favorite home responsibility? Well, I can tell you what mine is. Dusting, vacuuming, taking out the trash. You know, as kids, I don't know about you, but I didn't like responsibility. But you know what? It's not a bad thing. It really isn't. God built responsibility into us. He gave it to us when he put us here. He gave us tools to carry it out. And it's up to us to recognize our responsibility, and then it's up to us to do it. So let's begin at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, the key word there is the word created. It is the Hebrew word bara, and it describes the activity of making something out of nothing. When it's used in the Old Testament, God is always the one performing the creative action. Think about the original audience who would read Genesis chapter 1. Tradition tells us Moses was the one who wrote it, which means the people who first read it still probably were wandering in the wilderness, being freed from their slavery in Egypt. What they knew about God had been passed down orally, the way most things were passed down in those days. They taught their children, who taught their children, who taught their children. And it's interesting because Israel was surrounded by groups of people who had established civilizations. The Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Termites. Well, maybe not the Termites. If these groups were thought of as more civilized, the nation of Israel might be tempted to think that their stories of their gods was more established too. I mean, they may have could believe that the Egyptians were right and the world was birthed out of a cosmic egg. But in the written word, in Genesis chapter 1, God really quickly cuts to the chase. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's almost as if he was saying, let me tell you who's really in charge here. What he did and how you can know him. The biblical worldview is unique. That it not only do we know who created everything, but we can have a personal relationship with him. God invites us to have that relationship with him. And through the Lord Jesus, we have access to the Father, the creator of the universe. You see, Jesus is in a special position to do that for us because not only is he one with the Father, he was actually the one who created it all. In John chapter 1, John writes this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Not a single solitary thing that had been created was created apart from Jesus. In the New Testament, Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now that's a statement of fact. You look up at the night sky, you see the stars. If you look down with a microscope, you can see the bacteria that work together so that the plants grow. God did that simply by speaking the word. And the creator of all of this has invited us into a relationship with him, to know him deeply, and to remain with him forever. Now on page 31 is question number 2. It says, what impacts you about the first day of creation? What is it? Well, for me anyway, it is God was there before the world began. Because literally translated, it says, in beginning, God created. So when God began to create the world, he was here before the world began. Now look at down in verse 26 in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. Did you hear that? Male and female, he created him. Now, don't get me started on multiple genders, all right? God created male, and he created female. That's it. That's the list. The key word here is the word image in verse 26. Humans are a reflection of God. They're what we call an icon. And most of us are familiar with religious icons. I think the most familiar to all of us is the cross. Christians look at the image of the cross, and it causes them to think about Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection. Unfortunately, there are some people who tend to worship the icon rather than the one that it represents. Now, we all use icons, pretty much all of us. Some of us are in the dark ages, I guess. We all use icons every day, and we probably don't even know we're doing it because they're tied to the apps on our smartphones and our tablets. You tap on a picture on the home screen, and that word for the picture is called an icon, and that image points to something else. Boom! In Genesis 1:26-27, the word translated image there is the word selaim. It's used 16 times in the Old Testament, and mostly it's used in a negative sense. Listen to Numbers 33:52. Then you will drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. However, in Genesis chapter 1, God's not talking about images. He's not talking about icons. He's not talking about apps on phones. He's talking about us. He said something amazing about how he made us. We're made with something the rest of creation doesn't have. Our ability to think, to reason, to process morality. We have the ability to adapt and tame the land, no matter what that land looks like. But the most unique thing about it is that we're created to be God's representatives. He made us with the unique responsibility of being his representatives here on earth. On page 33 is that third question, and it says, why is it significant that we are created in the image of God? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, as his image bearers, we're created to rule over the animals and rule over the earth. That word have dominion is the word reda, and it means to have authority or to reign. Humans, made in God's image, are capable of thinking and discerning and making choices as God's ruling representatives, of governing the earth in his place. You see, as God's appointed rulers, we should seek his wisdom and make decisions about the use of the earth's resources. Boy, have we let that down. When the world looks at us, they shouldn't see simply people living for themselves, but people carrying out the highest calling, displaying the image of God who made us, and doing everything that we can to bring honor and glory to the Lord. On page 34, you have that fourth question that says, how would you describe the responsibility humanity has at creation, was given at creation? I think of one word. It was complete. It was complete. We had everything we needed. Look at verse 28 in Genesis, chapter 1. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now the key word there is the word subdue. That means to bring under the authority, to bring it into subjection. However, while humans are called to put creation under their authority, it's only possible as we stand under God's authority. As being created in his image, God didn't just place us here in that elevated position to sit and soak. He didn't do it. He's given us the task of being caretakers and to live in a way that brings honor to him. In fact, God gave us three tasks. Number one, be fruitful and fill the earth. Number two, subdue the earth. Number three, relish everything God has made because he made it all to be enjoyed. These commands go far deeper than just populating the earth. You see, God blesses us when we do it in a way that honors him. God gives us direction on what to do, and he also provides what we need to sustain life. He's ensured that both the human beings and the animals have all that we need to survive. As soon as his creation was complete, his only judgment was, it was very good. Folks, think how blessed we really are. We get to know our Creator in a personal way. We get to care for his creation. We get to be his image bearers. Folks, it changes the way we see ourselves. We have within us the very markings the Creator gave us, and it is to represent him. Now on page 36, there is that engage section. And you should read it and kind of follow the instructions about engaging. And on page 37, it says in the live it out section, being made in the image of God is a great blessing, but it's also a huge responsibility. So we should take a few minutes to thank God for creating us in his image, and ask him for help to live out this great privilege and this responsibility. Amen? All right. Well, next week we're going to talk about the nature of sin. Ooh, we all do it. We'll resume our studies at church next Wednesday evening, March 17th, at 6 p.m. But you know what? Sunday's coming. We want to see you in church on Sunday. Folks, God is good all the time. See you next time.